Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message.
All right, now, if you're joining us for the first time in this Unbreakable series, as I said, we've been talking about what it takes to build relationships that last, right? We're talking about building relationships that last, whether, man, it could be friendships, it could be dating, it could be marriage, it could be family. We recognize kind of this one thing that, man, the world's perspective, how the world sees relationships, how the world sees whether it's your friendships, whether it's your dating, whether you're married or family, man, how they see relationships is really from a broken perspective, right? The world's perspective on relationships is kind of skewed at this point. And this is why we see so many broken relationships. This is why we see so many messed up relationships, whatever kind of it may look like. Why? It's because the world has really come to this kind of place in their mind where they're kind of saying, man, you know what? Relationships are meant to be broken. Right, that's kind of where we're at. It's kind of relationships are meant to be broken. Not that they may be broken, not that it's a possibility, but they're saying relationships are meant to be broken. It's really a place where they're saying, man, it's inevitable that they're going to be destroyed. But I've been saying along this series, man, I just refuse to accept that foregone conclusion of brokenness. I refuse to accept it. I can't accept the world's standard of what relationships are and can be and should be and what they think they should look like. I can't do it. It's because I believe that, man, even relationships that have suffered what may look like a fatal blow, it may look like, man, there's no hope, all hope is gone, everything is messed up. I really feel like that they can be restored back to really a rock solid place. No matter, man, what you've kind of gone through or been through, that the Lord can restore relationships to the place where they're unbreakable, right? That's what we should be desiring, really, is unbreakable relationships, that we have relationships that are strong, that can endure no matter what's come, no matter what has come, no matter what has gone on in our relationships, that, man, these relationships can and should endure. That should be our standpoint, our perspective, our standard, our goal as Christians, that if I'm in a relationship, no matter what it might be, but especially if it's a marriage, man, that relationship is going to be unbreakable. I'm going to make sure that I'm in a position that I'm positioning myself to be an unbreakable person in an unbreakable marriage, in an unbreakable relationship, in an unbreakable dating situation. Even as a single person, I'm making sure that I'm building myself up to ensure that who I am, even as a single person, is somebody that is unbreakable, that is devoted to God, that my standard of who I am in myself, even as a single person, is someone that when it gets time for me to get married, I'm ready. Single people should say amen on that, right? You want to say that I'm ready, that I'm at the standpoint where, yes, it is time, and yes, I'm ready to go ahead and be married and be unbreakable, right? So last week we said one of the things that can cause relationships to break apart, one of the things that can cause us to not be in the place where we're unbreakable ourselves is really we haven't gone to the place where we've mastered what I like to call the cycle of fulfillment. Right? What we're looking for in relationships is we're looking for fulfillment from another person. And that may come from a friend. You're looking for your homegirl to connect with you and y'all go out and do nails, whatever ladies do. I still don't know. Right? Whatever y'all do together, you're looking for that time that's spent. You're looking for that connection. That's what we're all looking for. Right? And for the dudes, right, I want to know that, man, I've got a dude that's got my back when something goes wrong and we're at the movies and somebody might pop off and try to get in a fight. I know that you're going to jump in, right, and you're going to have my back. That's what I want. And when we go to get wings, right, and we order 20, that maybe you leave me an extra wing. I want some fulfillment in my relationships, you know what I'm saying, with my brothers. I need to know that we're in a good place. I want to know. But, man, how do I reach this place of fulfillment in my life? How do I get there, right? And we said, we looked at last week, Matthew 6:33. It says, man, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. And this is kind of what it looks like, all right, when we have this cycle of fulfillment. You seek God, right? And then what happens last week, right? And when you live righteously, It's a formula. You get everything that you need. That's literally the formula. It's a cycle that occurs in our lives. When we seek God and we live righteously, the things that we're praying for, the things that we're believing for, and you may not get everything that you want, but that he will fulfill you with everything that you need. You know what that makes me do? That makes me want to seek God even the more. Right? That, man, the Lord, you're doing this in my life. You're making this way in my life. God, man, you know what? Maybe I will lift a hand in worship now. Right? Maybe I'll extend a finger, right, when they say lift my hands. Maybe I just won't stand like a lump in a log. Why? God, because, man, you've done so much for me. And so I'm determined to live righteously. I'm determined to praise you and honor you and give you the glory. And like they said today, to give, man, Lord, I just want more. I want more. I want to receive that more. But what can happen in our relationships and our lives is that what we see people suffering from particular relationships, it's really hard. They feel like the world has told us that, man, this is a messed up formula. That, man, you can't do that. God doesn't care enough about you to give you everything you need. Why are you living righteously? Why are you single and you're not having sex? Why are you doing that? Because, man, you're never going to find anybody. You're never going to find anybody that's going to fulfill what you need. And you know what? You're right. You're never going to find another person that's going to fulfill what you need. It only comes through God. We're so busy. We said last week, man, we're looking for love. We could put nub in all the wrong, right? We're looking for love in all the wrong places, right? But where we should be looking for it is in God. I need to, man, is my focus on him? Am I determined to look at him, to see him for who he is? Instead, what happens is that we often put ourselves into this perpetual cycle of brokenness. Because I can't have what I want, because, man, stuff may not work out right the way I want to the first time, and, man, I went on a bad date, and so I'm not dating anybody anymore, right? We put ourselves into this cycle of brokenness. To this place where, man, we're broken and we kind of see the world from this broken perspective. And it's really how the world sees relationships. This is how they look at them. This is how they see them. This is how they perceive them. And this is how, for a lot of us, we put ourselves in this type of position. We kind of stay in this place, and sometimes we don't know how to get out. And even if we do know how to get out, we don't take the actions to get out of this cycle. What does it look like? Man, it's three things that the enemy, he really tries to do to mess with us. And the first thing, we've been talking about all series long, and I want to show it to you again because we need to look at it one more time. Man, the first thing that we can kind of get into is this place of loneliness, where we feel isolated and alone. We feel friendless, right? We have no one to turn to. We might feel forsaken, abandoned, rejected, unloved, unwanted. We might feel outcast. And because we feel lonely, right, we end up feeling, we are filled with despair. We end up being hopeless, right? We're discouraged. We have anguish. We're unhappy. We're depressed. And so, not because I'm lonely and because I've been lonely, because I don't feel like there's any way I'm not going to be lonely, man, I turn to despair in my life. And it's really hard to kind of make your way out of that. And here's the trouble with despair. It's one thing to be lonely. It's really kind of dangerous when you get to the despair point, because despair often is quickly followed by desperation. It's where, man, we start to do acts, we start to do things, we start to think things, we start to say things that are just a little bit off and crazy, right? We start to do things and express behaviors that are just not like God. We're so completely out of the cycle of fulfillment. Right, we don't understand, man, how can I get back to that place? How can I move it in? So we see it in the cycle of brokenness. Y'all can put it up, man. The cycle of brokenness, what happens is that because we're lonely, right? Put it up there, right? Because we're lonely, right? We move to a place of despair, and because we're in despair, we're in desperation. And because we make desperate acts, because we have this desperate way of thinking, because we do these desperate things, you know what happens to us? We go right back to that place of loneliness, and the cycle starts right over again. And we feel trapped in it. We feel like, man, there's no way out. There's nothing we can do. And where you see this cycle happen in the most silent and vicious way is in marriages. It's in marriages. Let me explain to you why. Right? It's because I believe that marriage is a place where the enemy will attack the hardest. Marriage, this is a relationship probably more than any where the enemy will try to attack you the hardest. Why? It's because it represents the relationship between Christ and his church. When you take the covenant vows, when you get married, you take vows that really you are going into a relationship that is a literal representation of Christ and his church. So when I say I do, right, it's not just me saying I do to that person, that's great, but really what you're saying as a church, we're saying I do to the will of the Father. To Jesus is standing on the other side, and we're standing as the bride, and we look good, right? But we're standing as a bride, but we're saying, I do to the will of God, to literally his son. It's what marriage represents. That's why we can't take it as a joke. That's why we can't allow the world's definition of what marriage is to overtake what the word has already said that marriage is. We're so easy just to let it go. We're so easy to be persuaded by people's aspect and view on marriage. And we're so easily allowed to be skewed into something different than what it was. And that's why we have 50% of marriages that end in divorce. Because we've completely taken God and the meaning that God intended behind it out of the equation. And then we wonder why they're broken. Why marriages are failing. Why? It's because we've removed God. We've taken him out. And so what the enemy does, this is how he does it. Man, he attacks even the idea of marriage, even the culture related to marriage. What does he do? What's happening in our society is that, right, the whole idea of the wedding has surpassed the idea of the marriage, where the wedding is now more important than the marriage. And the wedding is important, don't get it wrong, but the wedding is just a day. The marriage is what goes on after that point. It's a lot of times what happens when we get saved. A lot of times we have these really emotional experiences when we get saved, but then on Monday, right, we lose it. But I'm saying, man, I want for us to be in a place where not only are we saved, but man, that beyond salvation, that we begin to develop a relationship with God that, man, that moves beyond just the ceremony and the emotion and the feeling. Yes, I want you to be saved. Yes, I want you to make that declaration out of your mouth. But even after that, I want you to live it every day. And that takes work. And anybody that's ever been in marriage will tell you that marriage is work. And that's the thing, because it's work and because of the culture that we live in, we kind of denigrate marriage. That's marriage. Oh, that's too much work. And that's why you see guys not wanting to be committed. That's why you see people not wanting to get married. They'll do, man, I'm gonna, whoo, that's marriage. Whoo, that's a long ways away. That's down the road. And we're kind of afraid. And I get it, because I used to say the same. My wife used to say the same. Marriage, what, kids? That, what? Are you crazy? Like little John, what? Right? I should be like that. Marriage? No. What? Are you? Right? Well, as we do it, right? And we start saying stuff. Oh, my old ball and chain. Right? That's just how quickly the enemy can take it and twist it, where we feel like, man, we can't. We don't want to be in marriage where it seems something where we're bound up, where we're totally locked. Man, we're locked down because I got married. Oh, we say that as guys do it the worst. Man, oh, you're locked down now, bro. Yes, that's it. Right, go ahead and put the chains on because you ain't going nowhere. You're not leaving the house ever again. Come on, don't act like I'm the only one that's heard that before. Right? But that's what happens. But, man, can I just tell some truths about marriage? Can I just kind of flip the game on what the enemy says? Here's what marriage really is. Marriage is a covenant that was instituted by God. Instituted by God, it is sacred and it is holy. It's not meant to be entered into lightly or on a trial basis. Right? I'm just going to try out this whole marriage thing for a little bit. No. It's what happens. Right? Marriage is a binding agreement where two parties are no longer seen as two, but now they're one. Right? It's what marriage really is. Marriage is a literal picture, we said before, it's a literal picture of the love between Christ and his church that the world would see it. And it also represents, we said earlier, it also represents freedom, right? You may not have heard that, but it represents freedom that we've gained as a result of Jesus' sacrifice as he went to and suffered on the cross on our behalf. When we enter and we take those marriage vows, what we are doing is we are literally being freed by Christ. So this is what happens when we're saved. When what Christ does, man, he envelops us. He envelops us, right? And we take on his personality and his character. No longer am I separated from God, where I'm separate from him and we're two. But no, now we become one. The Bible talks so much about being one in Christ, right? That we are, even as a body, that we are one. When we literally marry God, marry Jesus Christ in that relationship, we become one. We're no longer two things. That's why I can't separate myself out of convenience from Christ. Right? I can't just act like, man, I don't have a Jesus on the weekend. Right? Because people do that. They try to act like they don't have a wife on the weekend. No, you have a Jesus every day of the week. It still goes on. It's a marriage that's formed. And there's the thing about it, man. The enemy recognizes the power and significance of marriage, particularly when God is at the center of it. That's why he tries to do everything that he can to break it down. And that's why doing relationships, we've been saying all along, doing relationships separate from God leaves us in a weak and vulnerable state. Particularly happens to marriages. When we take God out of the equation, we see marriages that are weak and vulnerable. They're susceptible easily to how the enemy's trying to maneuver, how the enemy tries to will and tries to impact and influence that relationship. Well, how do we stop it? How do we put up a defense against what the enemy's trying to do to break down marriage? Mark 12:30, read it earlier, read it again. Man, it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. It's what I need to do in those moments when the relationship feels weak and vulnerable is I have to remember, okay, that my relationship first as a husband or as a wife is actually not to that spouse. My first relationship is actually to the Lord. So that, and because I'm giving him my all, I'm giving him all my heart and all my mind and all my soul and all my strength, now I'm in a position, because I'm connected with God and we are one, when I connect with that other person, right, I'm coming with all the power of God is now vested in me, and now I can be married to another person. And you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for someone that's not all into me and all consumed with me. I want somebody who their first relationship as well is with the Father. And that they're seeking God with all their heart and all their mind and all their soul and all their strength. So when they see me, they're like, oh, okay, that's who I can be with. Why? Because I know that their connection, their first look is not to me. When stuff gets wrong and stuff messes up, they're not going to look at me first. When stuff gets crazy and out of whack, they're not looking to me first. They're looking to God. It's what we need. That's why we see relationships that are continually falling apart. You see one person kind of backbiting and jacking the other person up or just messing them up. Why? Because when stuff goes wrong, we just... we're looking at the other person. That's what happens. When our first thing should be, okay, God, you know, and I'm sure my wife has prayed this. This dude's acting up, Lord. He acting crazy right now. I'm about to hurt him, but you know what I'm gonna do? Man, I'm gonna turn to you first because I don't wanna smack him. So I'm gonna turn to you first. And I'm gonna put my heart and my soul and my strength and my mind, I'm gonna give that back to you. Lord, this girl, whoo, she wearing me out, Lord. I mean, but before, you know, whoo, I have to wild out, you know what I'm saying? And then they put me in cuffs and I'm in jail somewhere. Something go wrong. Lord, man, I'm going to look to you. Man, I have to go back to you with my heart and my soul and my mind and my strength. Man, it has to be devoted to you first. And Lord, I'm saying, but you know what? Before I even look on them, God, man, am I right, Lord? Am I in the right position? Am I in the right place where I need to be before I even look at them? God, am I right? And my hope is that, man, we would be in relationships with people that are both not looking at each other first, but looking at the Lord first, and that through their vision with the Lord, they're able to see clearly who the other person is, who God has made them to be. Because if my focus and my attention is on the Lord, then I'm going to see with the Lord's vision who God has designed them to be. And you know what? They have some flaws. There's some stuff that may be wrong with them, but I recognize who God has created them to be, what the purpose is in their life, and what he's trying to do with them. And you know what? That's going to have an effect on how I treat them. It's the same thing with, we see people in the world, and sometimes Christians have a hard time of dealing with people that are away from the Lord, because our perspective is guided by what we see on the outside. We're guided by, man, we see the sins and the flaws and the stuff that they've done wrong. But what God is saying is, you know what? How about you see them the way that I see them? That, man, despite their sin and their shame, despite the stuff that they've done wrong, that I still have a purpose for them. I've still called them to something greater. That the same way we should be looking at a spouse, the same way we should be looking at those in the world when people walk through our doors, right? And they come into this church and they may not look how we think they should look. They may not, man, think how we think they should think. Maybe their politics is different from mine. Maybe their skin color is different from mine. Man, maybe their background is different from mine. But you know what? God has called them to a purpose. Just like when you walk through the door, somebody saw you and all your jacked upness and all your messed up stuff. And they, man, and he said, you know what? Man, they said, you know what? Oh, man, I'm going to go and I'm going to greet that person. And I'm going to hug them and I'm going to love them because God has a purpose for them. And I want to help them reach that goal. I don't want to stand in the way, and I don't want to be on the sidelines not doing anything. But you know what, man, I'm going to jump in to make sure that, man, all that they need, that all that they need to know about God and the love that he has for them, I'm going to pour it out myself to make sure that they have what they need. That's what a marriage looks like. That's how we serve one another, saying, you know what? Man, I know that they're messed up. I know that they're jacked up. But God, use me as your servant to restore them, to help them become the person that you called them to be. That's marriage. Don't let the world twist and skew it and say it's anything different. God has ordained marriage. It's a covenant made by him. We just let the world just take it and twist it and turn it into something so negative. But really what's found in marriage is freedom. There is freedom. We're helping others to get free in marriage. You have been called, Galatians 5:13, you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. So, man, you know what? Don't use your freedom to satisfy the sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Be aware of destroying one another. All it takes is a lapse, a momentary lapse, man, to one of the areas of loving God with all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. All it takes is a lap in one of those things for the enemy to try to influence and wreak havoc in a marriage. This takes a momentary lapse. He does this by trying to influence us into satisfying our sinful nature, right? And I'm going to tell y'all something today. And I didn't want to talk about it. I'm just going to be honest. There was a moment in our marriage where, at the beginning, our first year, we didn't know what the heck we were doing. Just to be honest, we loved the Lord. Man, we had a relationship with God. Man, we were serving the church, doing all this stuff. But in our marriage life, it wasn't peaches and cream. It wasn't rosy. Can I be honest with y'all today? I'm in a very vulnerable place right now, right? I feel really naked right now. In a very vulnerable place. And we were trying to work stuff out in our marriage, going crazy, just what this talks about, man, biting each other and trying to tear each other down. That's where we were in our marriage. First year, we went a good 6 to 8 months in. Just, I'm in the closet. Lord, I'm so tired of this girl. And I know she's doing the same. Lord, you better fix this dude because I'm about to hurt him, right? And it was in this place where the enemy, I allowed just for a moment, the enemy to get me in, to make me feel really lonely. And I got into a place where I was in despair. And I made a really stupid act. I'm being real vulnerable, honest with you today. right? And it was a position, I put myself in a position of not being on guard to what the Lord was trying to do in my life. And I allowed myself to be emotionally connected to somebody that was not my wife. And it hurt my marriage. Just for that moment, I let someone into my, I let the enemy get in my head, and I'm so lonely, man, I'm not getting what I want. I feel like I'm not getting what I need in this marriage. Man, it's never going to change, man. I'm locked in now. Oh, I can't even go anywhere. I can't do anything. And I got into this place where I made a desperate act because I thought that somehow if I make a desperate act, that's going to fulfill me in some way. But you know what it did? It did the exact opposite. And I felt lonely. And I felt in despair, and I hurt my wife, and I hurt myself most of all. And more than that, I hurt my relationship with God and how others perceived me in that moment. But for the grace of God, we could have stayed there. You know what? 9.5 years later, somebody sent a picture today, put it up on Facebook. I don't even know if it was on Facebook. It came on their timeline. They sent it to us, people that are in our lives that helped us in that moment, that loved us back from a place where we were broken and lost and helped us and restored us back because they understood this, helped to restore us back to a right place. And they sent a picture this week of us literally right before it happened, right? Right before. And the crazy thing about it is that where we're at, literally in the picture, is beneath a huge pair of hands praying. This was right before. And literally in that picture, I could see the future where I am standing today, right? Even before all the craziness and hell was going on in our lives, that God, even through all of that, was still covering us and still sustaining us and still caring about us in that moment, that he was still saying, you know what, I still love you. I still care about you. You know what? Yeah, maybe you think you've broken, but I'm actually going to use this for your glory. I'm actually going to use this situation to bring you to a greater place for what I've called you to do. And you know what happened? We became unbreakable. On all the stuff that we thought, oh, man, this is never going to change. This, man, we were ready to throw in the towel, ready to give it up. We were just done with one another. Just done, man. I can just walk away right now. And that's how we felt. But God, he saw the realness in us. He saw our desire to get it right. But you know what? I want to make sure, because I've been through this, because I understand, because I'm speaking from my own personal place today, I want to make sure that we do not get caught back in that sinful nature. Man, how do I love my neighbor as myself? Let me show you how to not love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm speaking from experience here, right? Galatians 5:19-21, right? And here's the thing about it. If the enemy can't get us to destroy ourselves, he'll try to use us to destroy our spouse, right? And here's how it can often happen. Sexual immorality. Galatians 5:19-21. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, right? It could be porn. It could be something else that we are using as a tool to wreck the other person. It could be idolatry, sorcery, hostility, you're always fighting, quarreling, jealousy of one another in relationship, right? It could be outbursts of anger, consistent outbursts of anger, right? Selfish ambition, where you're only thinking about yourself in marriage, dissension, where you're undercutting the other person. Division, you're just trying to be separated. You could have envy in marriage. It could be drunkenness in marriage, wild parties, and other sins like these. And Paul tells us, he says, man, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you are doing these things, you're not seeking God first. There's no way you can be fulfilled because you're not seeking God if you're doing this stuff. And I don't know if you're married or even if you're not married yet, but you're hoping to be, or you're single, and some of this stuff is going on in your life right now, I'm letting you know, you're not seeking God first. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. I'm saying get out of this stuff if you're doing it now. Get out. Get out of it. Man, seek God with your life. If we allow the enemy to use us, man, we will cease being the kingdom seekers that we need to be. And what we do is that we forfeit not only the promise of God, but we forfeit our ability to be in his presence. I don't want to be out of the presence of God. I want to make sure that I'm in his presence. I want him in my life. That's why we've been saying all along in the series that, man, the unbreakable relationship, it really starts with me. It really starts with me. It starts with every one of us. I have to love me first so that I can love my neighbor, my spouse, in the way that I need to. You can't do it without that. I have to love me. What does that look like? Man, how do I love me? Nobody's ever explained it to me before. How do I even love me? Thanks be to God, it's in the scripture there. The next verse, Galatians 5:22. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Stop right there. You need to be encountering, as you seek God, his Holy Spirit should be residing in you. We should be seeking every day, Lord, man, how can I connect with the Holy Spirit? We had one of our people just yesterday talking about how she had never really done it before, but just took some time to really encounter the Holy Spirit, just driving in her car, right? Just began to pray in the Holy Spirit. And at first, she felt the urge to wanted to stop, is what she said. Because how the world kind of views it is kind of weird. Right? It's kind of spooky. It's kind of crazy. Ooh, what are you doing? Are you speaking in tongues and by a car by yourself? Yes, I am. I got my music turned up. You don't know what I'm saying anyway. Man, I'm going to encounter the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to be afraid of that. It's not spooky. It's not crazy. It's really what God has given us to help uplift us. And maybe if you don't even speak in tongues, but just allowing yourselves to encounter the Holy Spirit. I need that in my life. Why? Because it's going to help me to love my neighbor. What does it do? It produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And really, this is how I become the unbreakable part in a marriage. This is how I serve, as the verse said. This is how I serve the other person. I serve them with love, right? I serve them with love. I serve them with joy. Stop being so nasty and so evil and so angry all the time. Serve them with joy. I serve them with peace, being peace in their lives. I serve them with kindness. That's the type of husband I want to be. I want to be kind to my wife. I want to be good to my wife. I want to be faithful to my wife. I want to be gentle with her and her feelings and her emotions. And I want to be self-controlled. And you know what? I want the same thing from her. And she should be saying, how can I serve my husband? Or how can I serve my wife? You serve it by letting the Holy Spirit guide you. It's kind of difficult to do it. And I see that's why you see, the 50% divorce rate, even in marriages in the church, right? It's because we're so trying to do it within our own power. We're trying to do it without God. And I'm saying, the enemy is just waiting. He is just waiting. Go ahead and try to do it without God. I'm waiting to huff and puff and blow your little house down. I'm just waiting. Just go ahead. I'm waiting for that. But I'm saying in whatever you're doing, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Let it guide your marriage. Instead of devouring each other and looking for opportunities to tear one another down. Love your spouse the way you love yourself. Because here's the thing about it. These fruits of the Spirit, you recognize how we have no problem doing with this stuff for our own selves. You have no problem loving yourself and being happy with yourself and being good to yourself, right? You have no problem at all, right, with being gentle with your own emotions, right, and making sure people don't mess with you. You have no problem with self-control for yourself. But when it comes to your spouse, it's so easy to flip off the handle. It's so easy to be mean and nasty and not just be grumpy all the time in their presence, right? But what we're saying is, we should be guided by the Holy Spirit. An unbreakable marriage is achieved through the freedom found in the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So if I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to be in my marriage, you know what my marriage is going to feel like? It's not going to feel like a ball and chain. It's not going to feel like, I'm locked up. It's going to feel like freedom. That when we connect, that when we are engaged with one another, I should feel free. When I walk through the doors of my house and I see my wife, I shouldn't feel like, oh God, I should feel like, man, this is where freedom is. It's the same thing even in our lives with Christ. When we come in connection with God, when we come through the doors and we encounter his presence, even in a worship thing, that's why we're singing about it today, that freedom is here. Freedom is here in our lives. It is here. It's available and waiting for us to interact with it. It's what allows us to be unbreakable, to have unbreakable relationships. Bow your heads, let's pray.
Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.